Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Glory to God. You may be seated. It's great to see each one of you here, and we want to bless our digital family watching us all across the world, and a special howdy from the United States to Anders and Gabby for her birthday, and of course the Lanes. It's great to see each one. I mean, I am so pumped up from what we have been partaking of this last several days. How many of you were able to be at the conference? Are you ignited? Yeah. I am ignited. I'll tell you, it was. I want to especially take a moment for. I'm going to share with you a story about what I felt like. It just happened in the last month, and it's so inspiring for me to parable of what we have been doing. But I wanted to, I said, I didn't have time to call out everybody's names when I thanked the people. It takes, there were hundreds of people here this last weekend at the Ignite Conference. And it takes a large number of precious volunteers giving of hours and hours to serve the Lord, serve the church, and bless the people who came. And I mean, we were so packed out, we were scrounging for chairs. We ran out of chairs. So that's a good problem, you know, right? That's a good problem. Anyway, but I would call it generically, and I want to take some time in the coming days to specifically thank the different teams. But I said, we want to thank Steve Swanson and the worship team. And I don't know whether I got a chance to name all the worship team members besides Steve Swanson, who came from outside, and of course, our locals, who did an awesome job. So I want to give a shout out to Jenna Chaplinsky and Rainey Kennedy, Armin Decker, Landon Crane, Dennis Denton, Gavin Glover, Diana Obisison, Crystal Woods, Frank Marino, Michael Nikon. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. And again, I'm generic, but want to thank the key people. I mean, it was such a well put together team of people that functioned wonderfully in the love of God, with all the ushers, all the tech team, all the parking team, the greeters, people who kept the bookstore, the people who are partners. I can't thank them enough. But there was some of you may have noted this happened about the beginning of, first week of July, I think. But this happened in Panama City. I don't know how many of you remember this. And I want to say that in the context this morning, I want to recognize that this is National Family Day. Say Family Day. So we recognize Mother's Day, Father's Day. But do you know that there's a special day in American calendar, America's calendar? It's Family Day. Say family. I like family. But there is, I want you to see that there may be several aspects of, but I see three levels of family. There is the natural family, the mommy, the daddy, and the children. And then the grandchildren come, and the great-grandchildren, praise God, follow them. But then there is the spiritual family that's been established by God the Father himself, who sent his beloved son to gather in his family, his sons and daughters, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. That's the family of God, correct? And then I also would say there is a national family, that we as a nation are supposed to be a family, that we care for each other, and there is an identity that when, for example, you see where we honor the soldiers who gave their lives for our freedom, that's our extended family. There are people who we recognize, whether it was in the Second World War or in the Iraq War, whatever, those young men and a couple of those who lied there during the Iraq War, I knew personally and had a chance to pray for them and bless them. And when I think of them, that young life was given to cover and bless America, I said, well, there is a real closeness. We are a national family also. So, as we say, family, and there was a parable, a true event, but it was a parable of truth about our being family and caring for people. I want to just emphasize here that how many of you remember this, that it says, amazing human chain formed to rescue drowning family in Panama City Beach. Okay, this is in Florida, Panama City. And do you remember some of you reading about that? And it says, this was this copy of this. I wish I had a chance. I was in English graduate student and an author, and I wish I had been able to help this person sit down and write essays so they could communicate properly. This is one of the most broken articles, but you get the exciting event. Even in that, it says the family, Ursuri and her husband, mother, nephew, sons, were enjoying the sun and yellow flag conditions near the county pier. The Ursuri herself had left the water, but when she turned around to look for her sons, she noticed they were much further from shore than she remembered. Concerned, she started walking down the beach, and then she heard their screams. They were screaming and crying that they were stuck. How many of you gone off of the coastline near Charleston or Kiowa or something? There are areas that you go to a certain place and you're caught by the riptide. And then that tide will keep carrying you away. You've got to break loose, otherwise that there's an underneath invisible tide dragging you out to the ocean. So they got caught. They were screaming and crying. And as Ursuri went to help them, people were crying, don't go out there. And unwilling to watch them drown, Ursuri and her family swam out to them. But the rip current, was much stronger than they realized. Despite her best efforts to escape, they were trapped as well. Ursuri said there were 9 people stuck in about 15 feet of water. And it's like, that was pretty good. Did they have the pictures there? They're sneaky there, see? Wow. Well done. You fast. Huh. And then One of the ladies who went out to help said, "These people are not drowning today. Not on my watch." She went out, Simmons and her husband, and some of the others went in eventually to rescue this family. Eventually, there were 80 people were involved in rescuing this. And basically, some of them couldn't even swim. But they went out and held hands, and they formed a chain so that they could reach those people who had been grabbed by the riptide. It says, they all struggled to keep their heads above water, some of the ones who were in the deep water. That's when the chain got the biggest. They linked up wrists, legs, arms. If they were there, they were helping. Nearly an hour after they first started struggling, just as the sun prepared to set, all 10 of the stranded swimmers were safely back on shore. She said, it was the beachgoers and the grace of God. That's why we are here today. And that quote, "These people are not drowning today, not on my watch." Isn't that a great attitude? Anyway, these were, as part of the article, they didn't know each other, but they formed a chain to rescue this entire family. Not one was missing. They got them all. Isn't that great? But for me, it's a parable of what God is saying to us in this hour, that we are going to grab hold of anyone and everyone that we can rescue. And we are, by the power of our prayer and intercession, by the power of our worship and praise and thanksgiving, by watching and praying, that in a sense we are reaching out to our region, reaching out to over our nation, and in prayer, reaching out to the nations so we can rescue the perishing. There was a great old song, "We'll rescue the perishing." And that's our commission. Go into all the world, preach good news to all creation, and reach out. So as we gathered, and we are going to do it again in October, with the grace, there were some who knew how to swim, and they were able to. One lady had just gotten a banged up boogie board that she was going to take from, someone had thrown it away, so she had it, she was going to take it. When our grandchildren visited, they were going to use that broken-down boogie board. And when she heard the scream, she took the boogie board and used that to get out into the waters. So whatever we had, whatever tools we have, we do whatever talents and graces we have, we reach out together. I felt in that wonderful time of celebration and worship we had this last week, I just want to say again, it's teamwork, but we were able to, anyone who wanted a touch from God and anyone who wanted the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they were with. One of the things we emphasized during the watch is that if they said, "I need the Holy Spirit," zap, and they were immediately, I mean, that was one of the uniqueness of we're going, I believe, from glory to glory, that people started speaking in tongues, and I mean, it just bubbled out. Isn't that right, Katie? And we saw that also about a month and a half ago when I was there in Ashland camp meeting, is that there is a next level of grace and revival glory that God is shedding abroad. And for us to encourage each other, to grab hold of each other, strengthen each other, to go to the next level and help people to stay in revival, to stay strong and praying. Today, we want to say we are going to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And where there is anyone in our midst that you are kind of need some encouragement, that you need a miracle touch in your family, I just want you to know the grace of God is with us, that there is a glory that's shining forth from the presence of God as we worship, as we stray, that stayed in the atmosphere. Some of you will, you know, we use that, by the way. You were in the worship on Saturday night, last Saturday, and then a week ago, and then we did it again Friday. We put out that bubbling machine, and we were in the bubble glory. But I want to say that there is a bubble glory over the church. You stay in it. You get the infilling, get the zap, get the strength of the Lord, and then give it to others. That it's a two-way thing. You get the anointing. We get the grace. We need recharging of our batteries. And I always, whenever I'm in communion elements, I'm with corporately, not just alone. But I felt last, how many of you were here last a week ago Sunday where Pastor Benny Johnson shared with us communion. Now, you know that we are strong in that, and we have never missed it since when we founded this church here in this area about 24 years ago, and then the watch, that we have never missed communion, that we always go to the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we freshly stay in the anointing and keep ushering in and pleading the blood of Jesus over our family needs, over our children, and we keep pleading over our community, and we keep pleading the blood of Jesus over the corporate United States. And it's important, absolutely imperative, that we don't go to sleep, that on our watch, those people are not going to drown. On our watch, the devil is not going to take over our culture and our nation and our history. So, and if your children are in trouble, this church and this watch are going, I want you to know, we are not going to let go and see any member of our family drown and be captured by the powers of darkness. We are going to rescue them. We're going to believe in signs and wonders and going to see the miracles of God come about. Amen? Amen. Say, I believe. Signs, wonders, miracles, breakthroughs for myself, my family, my children, my church, my nation. And if you, I don't want us to forget and keep praising and thanking the Lord, you find that when God wanted to inspire and encourage his people, and the leaders would recall when they were in a moment of crisis, and even before then, they would remind God, God, you did these great miracles, and you did these awesome things, and you parted the Red Sea, and you defeated the Amalekites and the Hittites, and Lord, you can give us a miracle today also as we face this one and this one. And so it is imperative that we stay plugged in. And part of me as a leader kind of gets my heart somewhat gets impacted. I have to protect myself because we cannot lose the fire for the sake of our children, for the sake of our nation. We need to stay in revival and get stronger in worship, in praise. Get more committed than ever because that's where our victory lies. All right? And I'm praying even today that signs and wonders be done in the name of the Holy Servant, his Holy Servant, Jesus. So, and I wanted to give a scripture for today for national Family Day. It's Psalm 127. Let's go to Psalm 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds my house, unless he builds this house of prayer, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. This really applies to our fellowship in our church because we believe in watching and praying. So there's some churches that have, I'm not pointing fingers, but that I hear so many people come and say, we don't have a prayer group in our church. We just meet Sunday mornings and how can we do? And I try to help them. We try to help them and give them as much material. But from the head down, it has to be a heart. The heart of prayer must be from the leadership to all the members of the congregation. It can't be just one person. I mean, it can help. It's wonderful at least one person has a heart or 10 people in a fellowship. But we want the whole church to stay in prayer and faith. It takes us all to rescue those people who are drowning. So for us, though, as we again say thank you for family, thank you for the family of God, thank you for the national family, that the Lord points us that the foundation, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So we pointed out that I read the names of some of the people who are doing this, that each week now, some of the main leaders, besides the Vice President Pence and all the cabinet secretaries, and I name almost all of them, from Ben Carson to Rick Perry to, different departments, that they all meet together to have a Bible study and pray. And then some of the staff members that work in the White House join in. And we are in touch with some of them. So we know some personally. I mean, I don't want to call out their names. I want to keep their privacy. But this kind of gathering has not been happening for 100 years. This is the first time they have an official Bible study and prayer meeting every week with the main secretaries, the main cabinet members being involved. That's an awesome. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? Give the Lord a praise. That's important. Beginning at the White House to every other house and family. May that be. But that shows the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So our foundation, say foundation. It begins with the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we often aggressively call out, do the Apostles' Creed. There is a reason we are declaring as strongly as we can, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the resurrection of the King of Glory. We believe Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He was resurrected on the third day. Believe me that the devil hates that. The demons tremble when we are declaring. It is important that as it's our declaration, as we open our mouths out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. And in the other word, meaning is strength. So as we open our mouths and praise. The praise comes out with our mouths. And as we do so, strength from the Lord comes for us as a nation, strength for our economy, strength for our families, strength for our culture. So the other figures we read out was Friday was this was we are on a prosperity curve already with the new administration coming in that has been, drastic change in the unemployment area that now it's first time almost in 17 years this level of employment has come back that people looking for jobs are able to get jobs. So that's a praise the Lord. And one of the things that the Lord told the children of Israel, and we can't emphasize enough, I want to remember myself and tell myself. And I may start again. For a season, we used to remember do the gadgets where it would buzz every 10 or 15 minutes and go, and we would praise the Lord, glory, and go into praise every day. And I think you can have an app now. I need to learn how to do the app where I can do it on my iPhone. I sometimes forget the gadget where I put it. And I think one of the gadgets I forgot in a hotel somewhere. But I love that discipline. And by the way, there are certain, I don't know how to say it, but research from certain places, John Arnott's wife, the pastors of Toronto Airport, she's the one who also found out from certain people who help patients in Germany that this kind of practice really does something awesome for your health, physical health, as well as your mental health. And so all that to say, we need to discipline ourselves and help each other and regularly come together so we get into praise and thanksgiving. And if you're carrying a vibration of positive optimism and dynamic faith in the Lord, you can touch me and say, hey, how are you doing? I'm praying for you, and you're going to get a zap of the Lord. We are together, we can do it. It's just like those 80 people chained that went in to rescue. Whether it is not just to bring people to salvation. It's bringing people to the Holy Spirit. It's bringing people so that they can, their family members can get delivered. Anyway, so Psalm 127 is, I wanted to just declare that the Lord is continuously building my house. He is the foundation of this household. And we are thanking the Lord that the Lord is guarding the city. The Lord guard our city. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. So he gives his beloved sleep when the Lord is building the house. How many of you need some refreshing where your sleep is concerned? Yeah? Raise your hand. Amen. Father, yeah, don't pull it down. I'm just blessing you, the Father, that in this hour of revival and worship and praise, we just ask your Holy Spirit to touch each person that their sleep is going to be blessed, that once their head hits the pillow, they're under the blessing of God and they have sweet sleep. You give your beloved sleep. Say, he's giving his beloved sweet sleep. I am part of his beloved. And he's helping me get a good night's sleep. Amen. And then see, as the Lord is the foundation, he goes next, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. So that's the next part is, you know, and that this is the foundation of a marriage. You look back, first, husband, wife, and this word is for, even if you are single, it doesn't matter. But I'm saying when we say National Family Day, you begin with mommy and daddy. And then the children come. So this is the beginning, the beginning of family, husband, wife. Then there is expansion of the family. The children are a heritage from the Lord. Say, from the Lord. So the Lord considers they are his heritage. They belong to the Lord. They do not belong to the government. They do not belong to a false culture and the standards of a false culture. And our remember, the foundation is the Lord, and it's his word that guides us. That's why in this season of political correctness, even this week, I was praying for a young lady that was on that place where the whole propaganda of the culture is such that when, I mean, I'm thinking about kids that are 12, 13, 14 years old, and there is such a wicked brainwashing and propaganda that is coming from the world that literally makes them question their identity, whether they are a girl or a boy. And it's stylish to question. I mean, I would say, as a father, if my son, I hope I'm not being politically incorrect, if my son had said, Daddy, I don't know whether I'm a girl, I would have zapped their head. Wake up, boy. It's good to have good family friends too, by the way. And so I would travel often as on the mission field, go out, and I made sure that my kids, they had plenty of uncles and aunts around to keep an eye on them, so that they got the right kind of strength. I remember one time, one of my boys, he saw his sisters. You know, the sisters were playing, and he went in there. And so, you know, toys are toys. So he was taking one of their girl toys, you know, the dolls. And he took it up, and one of my friends was uncle, and he was working on the house, Uncle Gary. And he said, hey, you, no, that's not your toy. Here. And he immediately put a wooden kind of put together, he's a good handyman, put together a wooden gun. This is your toy. But I'm in different tastes. But the culture is such brainwashing and propagandized that you would say, this is a table. No, this is not a temple. That's a figment of your imagination. This is a horse. No, this is a table. No, this is a horse. After a while, the pressure is such, if you say it's a horse, it's a horse. And that's how it is. The brainwashing is so heavy on our children. That's why more than ever, we got to use and cover ourselves first with the praise and worship and be consistent. And then often, I was so glad that it was not just my emphasis or Pastor Bonnie's, that here is someone across on the western shores in California, Pastor Bill and Benny Johnson, but that was her big word that she felt like she needed, God had told her to share. And that's the major current word resting in her. It's the same thing that some of you who were with me in Ashland saw that one of the first themes I mentioned was, we're going to renew and take full advantage of the mighty weapon of the blood of Jesus. And you're going to go to the next level of coming into the full provision of what Jesus has brought us into, deliverance and healing and abundance. Part of it is Christ took our poverty, that through his poverty we might be rich. He became poor. That was one of the big teachings, 2 Corinthians 8:9 and 9:8, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ over us. He took the poverty curse so we might have abundance, so we have more than enough to pay our bills and be generous to bless others. And for us not to give up and keep on pressing in and use the authority of the blood of Jesus to say, we are devil, take your hands off my child. And then we are in full agreement with you. We will pray with you and enforce the power of the blood of Jesus. That used to be, after Azusa revival, that was a fresh revelation. And remember that term that we'd use, we are pleading the blood of Jesus. We are pleading the blood. That comes from, revelations that they overcame, the saints, the believers, overcame every device of the accuser, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we are covered, but we need to take advantage of that. It's not a once in a lifetime. The Bible itself says, as often as you get together, do these things. So, and I feel so positive that he is bringing us into new provision, into new levels of deliverance and blessing. But we cannot allow the clouds of powers of witchcraft and unbelief and all the spirit of humanism and political correctness if you look at it, it's important that you and I together come and as much as possible focus on the right things. The what you focus on will be defined by what we focus on. If you focus on the negative, in a sense, you will start being defined by the negative. However much good there is, you will start picking on the little things that are negative, and you will start, the image you're looking at, you will conform to it. That's why it's important for us to keep our focus and help each other every day and weekly reinforce our strength. Say, we are focusing on the King of Glory, Jehovah Sabaoth, the captain of the armies of the living God. Jesus is our leader, and he's leading us into victory. So, we have seen it, so many different examples, and it seems silly, but it's horrible. I was reading this week alone. People say, just a 7-year-old killer. And you could kind of tell where the family came from, and they themselves have been taken over by the progressive, humanistic kind of political philosophies and therefore cultural values. That 7-year-old, they started dressing as a girl. I think he's supposed to be a girl. I said, you're going to hurt this kid. 7 years old and he's a boy. You cannot, however much, and again, I'm not going to hyper on this one thing, but we are not only going to bring ourselves in, but we're going to bring our children and our grandchildren into the values of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God. One of the things you can read back is the values of the pilgrims who helped lay the foundation of this nation. They were so clear in their values of what they loved, what they considered valuable. They loved the God of the Bible. They loved Israel, by the way, and then started learning Hebrews because they valued the Judeo-Christian foundations. Anyway, as we celebrate family, then this day, National Day of Family, we're going to say, not only do we believe in the Lord, but our children are going to follow the Lord. That's and our grandchildren. For all you grandparents, I just want you to know that there is a grace in your prayers that one or two of your four children have gotten into that propaganda. Please. The cobras and the bears are so important, and we must now go back to bicycles, infect horses, and all. I'm old enough now to want to slap some adults in the head and say, wake up. So, the kids grow up saying, America is a polluter, and we shouldn't drive SUVs, and we should, I say, listen, you've been in a culture where they just go around on donkey carts and all that? I have. I'm glad we have SUVs and pickup trucks. And praise God. Hallelujah. And let's finish this scripture. Behold, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. See how the Lord sees. The Lord says, these are going to become my arrows. They are going to be effective for the kingdom of God. They are going to be mighty, mighty in the hands of the Lord. As their values, the foundation. By the way, the foundation, I want to go to two scriptures talking about the foundation. Praise you, Jesus. Luke chapter 6 says, verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So the foundation is faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus and the Lord. When we do not build a house on the proper foundation, it falls. So, and there is always, with that is the word repentance. We can always find the light and say, oh Lord, I made a mess of here, but I repent. And I'm covering with my prayers my family. So it is a word for the whole family and for the nation, even today. And then 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so what is your foundation? Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So you can bet your life, if the foundation is Jesus, you don't have to worry. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 5. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 onwards. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Say the power of God. Say, that's what you need. Is simply, we don't want to get so sophisticated that we forget that Jesus Christ is the foundation. We don't need to apologize. I remember a couple of years ago, something like that, 2.5 could be, where the past administration and the president previously went to Kenya, Africa, and part of their message of the State Department and of that administration to some of these countries, and they were receiving, giving a lot of aid to this country, but then they connected it then by saying, we are here to promote lesbian and homosexual rights. And wherever you are doing this and this and this, if you're not promoting homosexual rights and lesbian rights and all that, you will not get our financial aid and all of that. And I remember specifically, you can look up the quotes, one of the main leaders of Kenya said, we want to tell you we don't need and we don't want your aid, if it's attached to us promoting homosexual in Africa, we believe in the Bible. And you can look it up on Google now, it's easy, that it was in Kenya specifically, that they said, the population of Kenya is committed to the Bible. We honor the Bible, and you will not promote this stuff upon our country. And you know, there are certain times you hear something, and you want to find a wall and hit your head on the wall, saying, I can't believe it. Wonderful United States of America is now promoting these kind of philosophies in countries like Kenya and Uganda and other places, and they're telling us, we believe in the Bible. And I said, good for you guys. Praise God. But I believe that this kind of news we're getting, there's a weekly Bible study in the White House attended by almost every cabinet minister. I said, yes, revival is at hand. And we want to maintain our connection with the Word of God. And we want to declare our foundation of this nation, of all that we believe, the foundation we are going to build in our children is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's where we begin. That's unless the Lord builds the house. That's where we are at. Hallelujah. I happened to be with one of the, I have to be careful how I say this, because it's, as a pastor, I have not, once certain things I hold, and Bonnie does the same thing, we really honor privacy, but I happened to be one of the leading physicians in this region. And it happened to be, I was getting my annual checkup. You know how after a certain age, it's good for you to get an annual checkup. And I just want you to know, I have great news. Everything is working awesome, perfect. Praise God. So I want you to know that. But the tests, all the things. I just want you to know, this is great. We don't want to see you now until the next year. You're great. But it was with this person happened to be right there helping. That person is one of the lead. There have been major articles on this person. They're just genius in their field. I won't even tell you what field it is. But so they sat down and said, so we know about you. You go all over. I said, yes. So tell us. And then this person, I won't even tell you whether they're male or female. So I'm keeping their privacy. But they, for the longest time, more than 30 minutes, after they are in one of the most in-demand physicians, but that person wanted to talk to me about spiritual things and ask my counsel about this and this. And their main question was about their children and their values. And that parent had to go literally to their child's school to correct the teacher, saying, you are not going to brainwash my child into these values. And they were standing for the values that are Judeo-Christian, our strong values. And I was so proud of them, but that they needed reaffirmation that they were doing right. I said, right on. And don't buy into all this propaganda. But I am grateful that parents that do not apologize when you are affecting the values of your child or your grandchild, that your prayers are effective and the foundation as on National Family Day. By the way, those who are, single moms and your children, it doesn't matter if you happen to be, because circumstances, single mom or single dad, because there are so many awesome members of a society that are basically brought up by single moms, but they are great members of this nation. Like Dr. Ben Carson, basically his mom was a single mom. And he is one of the greatest pediatric surgeons in the world, and now he is head of one of the cabinets. He is a cabinet member of the United States. So, going back to then Psalm 127. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. So they are. See how the Bible sees the children, that they can be either used by the Lord's purposes. They are arrows, mighty weapons, either for the Lord's side or the enemy can take them and use them. There is you may Google the word Janissaries, but the Islamic society and there were really nasty conquerors from the 1100 onward, 1200 to the 1400 after the capture of Constantinople, all of that, that there were hundreds of thousands of Christians that were captured, and they would take possession of their children and bring them up, the male children, as one of the armed groups, the super powerful Delta Force troops for the Islamic emperors. There were the children of Christians, but they'd been turned around to become the fiercest weapons in the hands of these Islamic empires that would expand on the blood of these innocent that they had captured. And in a sense, spiritual sense, we can see the battle in our culture. Now, I want to tell you that the Lord is winning. Whatever they're doing, the Lord is winning. But and that you will read that the kids in the tweens and the who are 15, 16, 17 are questioning all the garbage that's coming out from the very progressive humanistic. They are conservative, and these guys don't know what to do because their propaganda is not coming on them. It's like the Lord has a shield over them. I mean, it's fun to see, but we cannot take that for granted. We must be firm as Christians and then be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I just felt there was a sense of victory God wanted us to have today, that our praise, our worship, it is doing something. And there are different examples that are coming up that says God is on the march. With the fall of Mosul, the restoration of the people of Nineveh coming and worshiping in churches that were closed. So these are little examples out there in the nations, but also here. Bible study restored in the White House. Those are great victory points that we say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do more for our nation. And I want to be stronger than ever in my faith, in my commitment to my family, to my Christian family, my church family, and this church family. That's why I began this morning by saying this church family reached out, as it continues to do. We reached out to hundreds of people that were hungry and thirsty. And they, I'll tell you, we had so much fun in the worship. How many of you enjoyed that worship? With Michael and the team, I so appreciate. And Steve Swanson took us, all of us, and then Bill and Benny and Pastor Bonnie. We had a great time in the glory. And, I want you to know suddenly the glory comes, and I had that word about the arrow coming on this man and, healing his heart. And he said, yes, my name is Aerosmith. I had never met them. And he was, at the end of the, what did he say? That, Heather heard him.
At the end of the conference, he went through the fire tunnel, and he was just weeping. He said he never experienced anything like this in his entire life and just was blown away, absolutely transformed, and said he's coming back next time.
So he was a grown man. He's in his 50s, or early 60s maybe. So he was weeping, crying. I had never experienced anything like it. And there are some other fun stories that we will share with you. We don't want to give it all one day, but it is so good that we are, as a Christian then, household, a house of faith, we are giving away. So, and I never want us to be a group of people who just says, give me more and more, but not giving it out. We should be, of course, I want more. How many of you want more? I want more of God. I want revival. I want refreshing in the glory, but I want to be used by God to give it away. The more we give it away, the more we get. But it takes all of us. I'm so proud of each of you, and I want to thank you. Can't thank you enough, but it's teamwork, people coming together. And if you cannot help physically, I understand sometimes, but in prayer, in encouragement, by your presence, you encourage us so we can keep on reaching out So it is wonderful. By the way, talking about reaching out, I want to conclude this morning by saying that I want us to take an extra offering today because we are sending a team to the First Nations. Last year we did it, this year. And then in the wintertime, we provided heating for the, what reservation was it? Pine Ridge Reservation. Wait, in the, yeah, Dakota. In the Dakotas, where it gets real freezing. And a lot of those, the poorest people in the United States, as I've shared, are the ones on the Indian reservations. They are in Great Lake, and we, part of our giving is to bless them. So we provided throughout winter, many of those people had heat in their little trailers and hogans and other things because this church helped them heat up their home. So what we are doing, we are sending a team with to help Allison and Deborah Bennett as they do a big gathering. It's the healing of the nations. They stole that title from us, but it's all right. We release it as a gift. I'm joking. The sweetest people, Allison and Deborah Bennett, and Healing the Nations Motorcycle Rally on the Navajo Reservation. So it's really a big outreach to the Navajo Reservation. And we are sending from this body, Kyle McGlade, Seth Palmer. Seth, wave your hand. Kyle was here on Friday night. And Jay Harris. Jay, are you here? Wave your hand. Way at the back. Oh, there you are. Bless you. And this offering today, we're going to pay their way out there. And then a lot of the elderly people on the Navajo Reservation are absolutely, I mean, roasting in the summer heat. I was in Arizona a few weeks ago, and it was 100 plus with dry, hot heat. So it is very hot, and we are helping to buy air conditioners for the elderly people over there. And then we're sending the team. So we want to take an offering right now. They can make the checks to ANC, correct? Hallelujah. Or can they do on the phone? Text to give. But this is our youth, right? There that were on the reservation. Hallelujah. By the way, when I phone a restaurant or something, we have guests coming, and I want to make a reservation, I say, I want to make an Indian reservation. It's terrible. I slap myself. If Bonnie was here, she would slap me. That was a joke. Sorry. Are you ready to give? Where are we offering? Hallelujah. Praise God. I need an envelope. Sorry. I did not bring one. But praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. This is a torn one. Just want you to know, some of these envelopes are torn. All right, you got it? Thank you. And then you can, those watching us, you can text to give right there. Text the number, say glory. Thank you, Father. It's such a joy. Lord, we welcome the new spirit of abundance. Jesus became poor on the cross. So through his poverty, the word says, we may be rich. We and our children, as this is Family Day, Lord, we bless our children, grandchildren, wherever they are, that you're promoting them, blessing them, giving them open doors of favor and abundance. In the name of God, bless this offering, Lord. In Jesus' name, increase, increase, increase. In the name of Jesus, amen. And hallelujah, let's give. You'll pass the basket. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.